I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What's going on, everybody? You know, I was thinking last year we did a story on the news about how basically everyone's taste in music is set in stone by the time they're 30 years old. For me, that's probably, you could probably go back to about 20 and then it ends there. And along those lines, I was at my art studio, I think yesterday or the day before, listening to Spotify, and I was on the playlist where they play you your top picks from the previous year. So, of course, all those songs were 70s, 80s, maybe early 90s is where it ended. And all of a sudden, Stairway to Heaven came on, and it was crazy how much it brought me immediately back to a junior high dance. I mean, if you didn't have someone lined up for that, you had to just sit on the bench for like 11 minutes feeling like a loser. And then I started thinking even further. I'm like, I wonder if there's even junior high dances now. It just seems like the idea of seventh graders making out in front of chaperones in junior high gyms probably just doesn't pass muster in this day and age. Anyway, I don't know. It was an interesting thought for me because I guarantee that probably doesn't fly anymore. And I don't know. I remember my first makeout session was actually during a junior high dance, and at this point, I didn't know how to shut my eyes. I didn't know you were supposed to shut your eyes, and I remember this clear as day. And I remember locking eyes with one of my seventh grade teachers, this guy, Mr. Apple. I was like, I still get chills thinking about this day. It's horrifying. Anyway, so kids these days probably don't have to deal with that. They've got their own issues that we didn't have back in the day. Now in the social media world. So anyway, today's guest is someone, you know, obviously I'm still on a high from Phish New Year's. Such a great run. I didn't go to the New Year's Eve show. I went to the first three. But, boy, that whole New Year's gag with them going up to the Raptors, Mike and Trey, it was just so cool. And it made me realize that I actually have a connection with someone who's played a pretty intimate role in the whole Kozvot thing. John Rua, I tried to do that without a mass accent and I made it wrong. John Rua, R-U-A, is a choreographer, he is a dancer, he's one of the OG Hamilton cast members. He was in SpongeBob, which I actually randomly saw last year too. And I first met him 3 years ago, right after the entire band was his guest backstage at Hamilton. It was, you know, the four guys and their wives all saw Hamilton immediately after the New Year's run in January of 16. So I decided to get on the horn with him. And one of the things I'm going to experiment with this season, let me know what you think about it, is obviously the whole podcasting thing is it's a very crowded space. So I purposely kept to 15 minutes. You know, I think initially when I started, I thought the more content, the better. If we go an hour and a half, people can dip out where they want. But then there's a part of me that thinks maybe that's overwhelming. But if you know you can make it through the whole episode in 15 minutes on your way somewhere, maybe that's appealing. So that's what I did with John. We got him on the phone, and he actually shared a lot of interesting information about, you know, his relationship with the guys in Phish, particularly Trey, whose cell phone number he has. He can call up on a moment's notice. We even got into the fact that when I was at the Albany shows this year, we later found out that that's when Mike and Trey, with John, backstage at the Times Union Center, were sort of working out the dance moves that would wind up being Turtle in the Clouds, Kozvot Fox. So without further ado, here is John Rua.
From New York City, USA, welcome to the Fox 5 Podcast Network.
All right, John, good to talk to you again, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Good. It's crazy. You know, I thought it was 2 years ago we met, but it was actually 3 years ago when I saw you post that picture with you and all four members of Phish backstage at Hamilton, which is something you never see, like the entire band together outside of gigs, which was really fascinating. Remember, we met on this, I met you down in, by Joe's Pub, and you sort of gave me the backstory on that. And then ever since then, I just see you everywhere, it seems like.
Fortunately, things have been good, and I try to do my best to wear multiple hats and have my feet in various doors so that I can, you know, express and create art, which is basically what my mission is. So I'm excited that I have had the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, it's crazy because when we spoke, I remember it was very beginning of January 2016, which was when Hamilton really just started to take over the world and blow up. And it was sort of like right at that window when it had become the hottest ticket in the world. It continued that way for a year. You stayed with Hamilton, including playing the role of Hamilton, for about another year or a little bit less, right?
Well, basically, it's interesting. When I first met you, the reason Phish was backstage was because Trey caught wind that I was being my experience as Hamilton. I was the first understudy, so no one, you know, knew when that day was going to come, and it randomly came. And I found out the day of, and when I went on, you know, things went really well, and it was a pretty visceral, intense experience. And I remember people call Wynn, and I think Trey might have reached out to me or something, or vice versa.
Oh, that's right. You were actually Hamilton when they saw.
Yeah, so he came to see me play Hamilton.
That's unbelievable, right?
Because I believe Trey had seen it prior, because I had a picture with him just because he came to the show and we were hanging out, and then. Then when I said, I'm going on, he's like, let me know when you're going on and we'll all go. And so they came with their wives, and backstage we celebrated. I got to see them. It was on a Sunday matinee, I believe. And then afterwards, you know, I think me and you met at Joe's Pub. But during that month of January I was going on, I continued on with the show. Well, I opened it, and then I continued on until basically the very end of June, early July of 2016, mm-hmm. as the understudy. Then I left. And I went to go on to do some other things. And I believe in February of 2017, they called me and said, would you, you know, come back and play the alternate for a few months? And I did so. I came back and played for a few months, and then I left. And I've been gone since, just exploring other avenues.
Right. No, it's funny, actually, when we were talking about setting up the podcast, I had seen you in SpongeBob because I wound up interviewing my friend Pam, who's a bigwig at Nickelodeon, and it was like, oh wow, there he is again. And I feel like I just keep bopping into you sort of online because you have maintained that relationship with Phish. And I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting to my audience would be you once again find yourself in the middle of that universe. You helped the band choreograph the Kozvat Vox dance, which was the Halloween costume this year in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, so how that all came to be, it was awesome. I didn't even know you were at SpongeBob, so you told me, which is really great. And at SpongeBob's, it's really cool because I get to really explore different people's music. So SpongeBob, we had so many different artists, and the role I played, I got to sing Sarah Bareilles' music. But we got to sing everybody's music in that show. I mean, Lady Antebellum to like Aerosmith to mm-hmm. to T.I. to everybody. And then so it was really cool because I got to explore different artists. So that's why it's really interesting that as I was growing up, all these artists that we enjoy are branching out as well, and now they're hitting different mediums, and I'm getting to cross with them. So Phish, originally, as we crossed years ago, and then today we still maintain relations. So I believe I was on the set for Blacklist. I was shooting a guest starring role for this season. And I just was sitting around because, you know, the days are long. And I called Trey to see how Trey was doing, because usually I go to the New Year's festivities at Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, Trey, you know, I'm going to try to come this year. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. We just started catching up. And
that's amazing, too, that you have his cell phone number, because I'm sure that is a super tight list of people that can actually call Trey on demand.
Well, I mean, me and Trey, we're buddies.
Yeah.
Artistic genius, and he's really wonderful, and he really is a down-to-earth human who mm-hmm. respects other hardworking humans, and I think he's always had that kind of connection with me, and so, yeah, we just connect. Like, the first time I did the Wombat at Atlantic City, you know, Trey was in Connecticut. I was doing a reading of a play in Connecticut, and he just called me. He's like, John, I have an idea. Boom. And so we did it. So something happened here where, you know, we're trying to figure out how we're going to connect again. And then randomly, he was in Albany doing the tour with Fish. And I was in the middle of doing stuff after, you know, auditioning or teaching or whatever I was doing. I can't even remember. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, John, you know, what are you doing right now? I said, I don't know. He's like, well, I'm talking to Mike and we have this idea and, you know, do you want to play? And I said, all right, let's go. So then immediately we connected and he told me about the new album and sort of, you know, Cosmic Box and all that stuff. And I said, all right, well, then let's explore. So immediately I came up there and we all got together backstage before his shows and we would just work together. And then I visited him there and in Chicago.
Okay.
And I couldn't be in Vegas because I was working with stuff in New York. But I got to see it because of the streaming. So it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Visually, it was so stellar with the white outfits, the white instruments. And it's interesting, too, because you mentioned you first sort of collaborated on that in Albany. I was at those shows, and I think it really wasn't until way after the fact that I think Mike on Instagram released a photo like, oh, this is us in Albany, you know, doing the dance with John Rua, you know, and it was like, oh, wow, they were working on it. You know,
yeah,
it's interesting. Basically, no one knew that was happening.
All time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how Fish is. Fish is, they're wonderful to their fans, and they just sort of always know how to stimulate them. And as musically, they do it alone, but they find different ways to levy it up. And I don't know, they were like, we want to move. And Trey has a lot of trust in me, and I know how to work with people with their abilities. And Trey and them are so charismatic that we said, well, why don't we make this dance sort of, you know, really rooted in the Norwegian kind of way.
Like, right, the prog rock scene, right?
Yeah, you know, so it wasn't so much about, like, how cool they danced, but it's how well they did something that was, like, very, I suppose, relevant and connected to the theme of what the album was.
Right. They went so deep into it. It's fascinating. So like, you're backstage at the Time Union Center or whatever it is in Albany. Are you with just those two in the room?
No, I mean, I see Paige, I see Fish, I see all, you know, like we're all there. We're all jamming and then I'm creating on them. And then, you know, there's one point in the dance, if you watch it, that they're like giving an ode to skiing and to snow and to like, you know, sort of the climate of which with the band Cosmic Box would be in and sort of what they do and the tribal esque of it. So there was tribal moves and then there was moves where they were just teasing. And if you notice, they put fake goggles on and they ski to the right and ski to the left, take the fake goggles off and throw it to the crowd. And they almost, you know, like they're just playing with their crowd based on being Norwegian. And so we would just explore all those movements because, you know, they didn't have that much time. There wasn't a lot of time, and I wasn't present. They were on tour. So whatever I could rehearse with them in the little time they had before their show was what was going to be their task for Vegas.
And so do they like play it for you on tape? Do they play it for you live? How does the idea of what the moves are going to be really start taking shape?
Well, for me, I think about what's going to resonate for the medium that they're in, meaning – I love rock music and I love what they play. And so part of me said it's very funky. And what can Trey and Mike do with little time and guitars and be uniform? So they sent me the song and I thought to myself, all right, how can I make this funky but not too elaborate? You know, like how do I make them still connect to their audience and still be synchronized? So immediately I started thinking of moves that would really frame well with their instrument and would really operate well with them and the audience. And how do we make it nice and sweet? So that's basically what they did. They sent me the track and then I started making moves up. And then when I go there, see how it works with them. And then something new will come. Mm-hmm. And then they start playing with me back. They start playing backstage. So then I start hearing what they're playing based off that might be different from the demo and then operate on that. Because in a jam band, they could play something different the night of. It's jam. So I try to find the things that they lock in regardless, like what's sort of the structure of their form in the song.
Yep.
And then I create off of that because they could jam around it. They don't have to be operating off of something they played once, and maybe they might not play the same riff again or something.
Right, you listen for the things that sort of are the anchor of the song and the jam, and you know will be there time after time.
For this particular situation, mm-hmm. yeah. So that way that there's a fail safe, you know, like mm-hmm. This is where we're connected to. We're not trying to, what's going to go on here, you know, especially right. with 15,000, 20,000 fans. You know, they're jamming, something new comes up. We got to give them something that's going to definitely lock into place.
And you mentioned New Year's. Did you go to this year's New Year's show?
Absolutely. Oh. It was insane. It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
I did the first three in person. I couched toward the final night. But that, I mean, between the dancers sort of going up and down, the space theme, and then Mike and Trey going up in the spacesuits, I thought that was insane.
I mean, I knew of the event. I had nothing to do with it. That's mm-hmm. another. I had nothing to do with that. I mean, one day I'd love to choreograph the New Year's event, but my friend was one of the aerialists, and it was just pretty insane. And I forgot that Trey and Mike were going up, and I was like, oh my God, so rad. Like, it was just so, they just find a way to always make their night visceral and memorable. You forget there's time.
No,
when
totally.
You can do an event and you forget there's time, that's when you know you're like, living, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense to me. I mean, when I was on my couch just watching that night, and when they came out for that set with the space, I'm getting chills thinking about it now. When they came out with the spacesuits on, I'm like, oh, it's Say It to Me, Santos, and they're going up. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. It connects with such like a childlike joy, and that's the whole thing. Nothing's pure. Just the whole experience is just joy, no matter how old you are, no matter what's going on in your life. It drives me crazy. It's so unbelievable.
They're so amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm just grateful to continue to be able to work with them and to know them as people. Like, we had a blast. Me and my girlfriend went up and we just had a blast. We just really enjoy their company. We enjoy each other's company a lot. And I love rock music. I don't mm-hmm. know if you saw, I choreographed there's a band, very well-known band, but not a lot of today's people who don't listen to rock are familiar with, which is Coheed and Cambria.
Coheed, I just saw that on your feed, right?
Yeah, and I choreographed their latest music video, and that was an epic adventure too. So it's like, I just encourage people to like listen to this music, because there's musicians out there. It isn't so produced, if you will. These people mm-hmm. create it, and it's magical what they make. And Fish, to this day, it was beautiful to go to their shows too and see the wide age range. Mm-hmm. There's so much youth there. Like, their music speaks to all ages, and that's why I love the fact that it's still around and people are absorbing it. Same with Coheed, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It really, it's amazing how you've been able to just sort of venture out. You're a regular guy. You're from New Jersey. Went to Rutgers, and somehow all your passion and the career route, it's all melded together. And in a way, I mean, I don't think you could have ever even envisioned. You know, you never know where the road's going to take you when you venture out on a creative path. And it's unbelievable.
I still don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. The next thing, we'll see. I mean, there's a movie I helped choreograph a bit called Isn't It Romantic? And that's coming out Valentine's with Rebel Wilson. There's different things, but I'm really putting a lot of my energy in creating my own work. So I'm writing my own play with dance in it, and hopefully that'll have some rock in it. And the play won't be solely for entertainment, but to message, you know, mm-hmm. with entertainment. And my point is, who knows what's going to come, but that's where I'm starting to realize that, you know, my calling is to innovate. And I think that's why I was always connected to Fish mm-hmm. and to bands like Coheed, because they're, you know, it's like they're like a good steak restaurant as opposed to like a Burger King, meaning, you know, they're very special and unique. And those who affiliate with them are generally people who are doing very saturated in regards to passion and mm-hmm, art.
Right. It draws a like-minded crowd.
Yeah, it's not like the simple things, and they make it all very accessible. So that's why I was wondering, how am I getting involved with these things? But I think that was the purpose, you know, to innovate with great minds.
Right. And, you know, just in case Mike ever listens to this, we'll pretend that you referenced a vegan restaurant instead of a steakhouse.
Yeah, very, very true.
All right, amazing.
Well, Mike has so much style. Mike has so much style. I don't know if people are paying attention to how stylish he is.
No, he's up the game so much in like the past 10 years. Now every night it's a different pair of sneakers. I mean, the night where he came out with like this tight silver gold shirt, he ditched the scarf real quick. I think it was the 30th. But I love the evolution of the whole thing. You're so right. They're amazing to their fans. And it just gets better. It comes from such a great place. I know everyone is so thrilled to have them in their life. And you share the exact same viewpoint I have and everyone I know who's into fish. It's just a feeling of, you know, gratitude and how lucky we are, you know, that we're in on it. You know, it's amazing. John, all right, so our 15 minutes went fast. I so appreciate you clearing time for me. Is there any specific thing you want to end on, a pitch, et cetera? And I mean, we'll push it out through social media anyway, but I love it.
If you guys are all, you know, very interested in the work and love what I'm doing with fish, just keep an eye out for what I'm doing. You know, the easiest way to do that is a website or social handles. My website is johnrua.com. Mm-hmm. And if you put John Rua, JONRUA, in any, you know, Instagram or YouTube, you'll run into a lot of work I create and a lot of stuff I've done with fish that some people don't even see or other artists they know of. Because although my movement's rooted in fundamental style, mm-hmm. like funk, I say, hip-hop, it's transcending all mediums, whether I'm choreographing to Jesus Christ Superstar or choreographing to a latest pop track. My point is, thank you so much for all those fans out there. They've reached out to me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They've reached out to me on Instagram. They've been so vocal about my association with fish that, you know, I would love your support on all realms. So I'd love to hear from you guys and reach out via social media.
I love it, John. It's been a thrill talking to you again. I'm a big fan. I love the whole thing. It's amazing. And it's just continued greatness, John. I mean, I don't even need to wish you luck. It's happening and it's going to continue to happen. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Steve.
Awesome.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
All right, brother. See you, John. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. This episode was recorded, edited, and mixed by Matt Onimus. Our executive producers are me, Matt, and Ahmad Asghar. Our vice president of news is Byron Harmon, and our vice president and general manager is Lou Leone. Binge Talking is part of the Fox 5 Podcast Network. I'm Steve Lacy, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, at Stephen Lacy with a V, or on Instagram, Steve Lacy, STEVELACY. In the meantime, stay tuned for our next episode.